Good morning, church. I'm going to stand here today. I think something must have gone on at the LAC tomorrow because I could not find the wireless mic. They're literally in the closet is a pile of equipment, and I started to try to sort it out, and I said, I'm going to let them do it. I'll tear something up. So anyhow, it's good to be here. Happy Easter. Welcome. It's good to see everyone. And I got a text from Kelly this morning. She said the service at up in Dallas was tremendous. She just had tears in her eyes. So it sounds like all the kids did a great job. And as Marion said earlier, look forward to hearing from all of them next week and letting them show you what they've done. So good things there. I want to be in Matthew 28 today. So that's where we'll be. But you can be turning there if you'd like. But let me give you a list of names. And I want you to be thinking about what they might have in common. Elvis. John Kennedy. Dale Earnhardt. Not junior, senior. Dale Earnhardt. Thought I'd pick a local favorite. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Hank Williams. Again, senior, not junior, just to be clear. And just even to look back in history, Alexander the Great. Well, again, it's not Bible class. We won't spend time trying to yell out answers. The thing that's in common is they all died way too young. If you look at that list again, Elvis, John Kennedy, Dale Earnhardt, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Hank Williams, Alexander the Great. They died too young. And we look at that. And we think sometimes in terms of, wow, what a waste. You ever felt that way about a life taken early? What else would have happened? What else could have gone on? What else could have been done? And it's amazing to me the ways that we reminisce. I'll admit it, I've been to Graceland. Had to see that. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else has been or not, but isn't it amazing, even all these years later, how many dollars Elvis's estate generates? Yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know. We reminisce and we think about, and again, we wonder what if, and again, so very often the thing that gets us is what could have been. What could have been? Now, let's look at Matthew 28. That's our little introduction there, and we'll tie that back in here in a second. Matthew 28, verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Okay. Now, do you remember the days of seesaws? Remember the fun we had on seesaws? I don't see them as much. I wonder if liability laws have probably taken those out of the playgrounds. Probably a lot of truth to that. Well, we lived dangerously when I was young, I guess, because we had seesaws at school. And one of the things we like to do is you get the biggest boy in class and you have him sit on one end. And then we'd all the rest of us start piling on the other end until we could put him up in the air. You remember those days? You start piling people on, you slowly get him up, and he's leaning back as far as he can, you know. But you keep piling people on there until finally, bump, you got him up in the air. I want to suggest to you that this text this morning is a little bit like that. There's a seesaw that's taking place as these people go from thinking that he's dead to he's risen. You see? Now, let's look at it again with that in mind. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid," which implies they're afraid. They're scared. Their Lord's been killed. They're coming there to see about the body. "I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." So we got the big boy on one end right now, and we got the ladies on the other end, up in the air. See? That's where they are. "He's not here. He's risen." Oh, we got him off the ground a little bit. Yeah. "Come and see the place where he lay." It's amazing how often, isn't it? We've just got to really see. It's just something about us, and it's okay. It's part of us. I got to see it for myself. "All right, come and see where he lay." Because I think he realized that there's not going to be any believing without seeing that. "But after you come and see," verse 7, "then go quickly." And what? "Tell his disciples he's risen from the dead." Hey, we're starting to get that big old boy halfway in the air, aren't we? You know? "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy." So you see it? They're still afraid, but now they've got what? Some joy. We're starting to lean this way a little bit. We're about to get big boy up in the air here. Yeah? "Suddenly Jesus met them." Boom. You see? Now it doesn't matter how far back big boy leans on his thing. We're down on the ground here. You see what goes on in this text? Excuse me. That's the thing about Easter, isn't it? It's a reminder of what? He is alive. He is alive. You see, I gave you that list of names earlier. Those guys are all dead. Elvis is dead, folks. Just ruin it for you. Elvis is dead. Okay? He's the one on the list there might be a question mark about. But we're going long enough here in history. I think everybody's going to start buying into the he's dead thing. I'm just going to say he's dead. Jesus was dead, but it's different, isn't it? It's different. You see, with the others, I just pick on one of my favorites, Dale Earnhardt. He was my favorite NASCAR driver. And he finally tied Richard Petty with 7 championships. And I was really holding out for 8 so he could come out on top of Petty. Not that I don't like Petty. Petty's fine. Okay? So Richard Petty, that's great. But I just really wanted Dale to see him beat. And I was watching the Daytona 500 when he wrecked that car that killed him. The wreck that killed him. Sad day. You know, I can remember the news reports coming out later in the day. But again, it's very different because in that case, there's a sadness because in one sense, one of your heroes is gone. And what could have been isn't going to be. See, that's where we are in the first part of this text, isn't it? Our Lord's gone. And what all that we thought was going to be isn't going to be. But with Jesus, it's different. Yes, it's important that we look back on Jesus' life and we understand what He did. But what I'm trying to say here today, and one of the points I want to make, is we also have to ask the question, we also have to consider with Jesus, that it's not just what has been and what He did, it's what He's doing today that matters too. Because He's alive. And it also says that tomorrow and the next day and after that, and if the Lord doesn't come before I die, even after my death, Jesus is still going to be doing things. Because He's alive. He's alive. He's not like Elvis and Kennedy and Earnhardt and Stevie Ray and Hank Williams and Alexander the Great and anybody else you'd want to put on the list this morning, where all we can do is look back and say what might have been. With Jesus, we know what might have been and we know what He's doing and what He's done, and there is more to come. And that's exciting. That's exciting to know that. You see, think of it this way. A dead Jesus is a lot more manageable, isn't he? If he's dead, he's a lot more manageable. There was a big movement in the 19th century among scholars to try and write what they called historical Jesus. In other words, they went in and basically the approach was to say, you know, the Jesus as he's presented in the Gospels, that's the Jesus of faith. We'd like to get back to the real Jesus. And I don't buy any of this. We good here? So in case you're worried about that. But in other words, there was a whole lot of stuff written all through the 19th century about what was the real Jesus like. Because the Jesus presented in the Gospels is not the real Jesus. That's the Jesus of faith, and we need to look back to the historical Jesus. And of course, obviously, they believe what about Jesus? He's dead. And at the end of all that, there's a guy named Albert Schweitzer wrote of his historical Jews, and he basically said, it's interesting, as I survey all the literature, all these guys that wrote historical Jesuses, it's amazing how much Jesus looks like them. In other words, they'd make Jesus in their image. He says, it's amazing, all the historical Jesuses that they've written, how much it looks like the guy that wrote it. You see, a dead Jesus is much more manageable because you can say anything you want to about him, whether it's true or not. Read an article recently about Thomas Jefferson, and it was not complimentary. It was in the Smithsonian. Basically, it was his approach to slavery and how maybe he wasn't as opposed to it as everybody thought, and that maybe he, in fact, changed his mind on slavery because he was making a lot of money off of it. They went back into some of his old records and traced some things down. All I'm going to say is the next month, the issue was real fun in letters to the editor, because there's a lot of people who still hold Jefferson in very high esteem. And they were chewing out the guy that had written the article, and he had to write a defense of what he'd said and all this kind of thing. What I'm getting at is, you can say whatever you want about Jefferson, it doesn't matter, does it? It really doesn't matter. Because Jefferson's dead. He is not going to come back and correct anybody sitting here. Right? He's dead. You see, we better be careful what we say about Jesus, because he's alive. We better be very careful how we conduct ourselves in our lives, because he's alive. It matters. Yeah. Because at some point in time or another, he's either going to prove us right or wrong about what we think and say about him. You're going to face him. And boy, we better strive for being right. We better strive for being right. You see, if you believe that Jesus is alive, it better change how you do things and how you live. Yeah. And again, it's kind of like, years ago I read a book, a guy named Sanford Levinson. It's called Constitutional Faith. It's a book about constitutional interpretation. There's a big debate in constitutional interpretation about whether or not that document needs to be treated as sacrosanct and we've got to adhere to it, or if it's a living document that can change over time and our interpretation and understanding of it can change and this kind of thing. And he was basically comparing it to the debates in the Reformation between the Protestants and the Catholics about very different approaches to Scripture. He was comparing the two. And that's why I call it constitutional faith. And I've had professors argue both sides of the things. I've had professors stand up and say, you know what, the Constitution is ours. We can do whatever we want to with it. It doesn't matter what the original founding fathers thought about it. We can do whatever we want to with the Constitution and make it say whatever. Now don't worry about, I don't want to argue this morning about constitutional interpretation. All I'm getting at is that it doesn't work with Jesus. All our founding fathers, we can do whatever we want with the Constitution if we want to. The founding fathers are not going to come back and correct us someday. Jesus will. It's very different. It makes a lot of difference as to whether or not he's alive. You see, if you believe that Jesus is alive and that he's involved, as he says at the end of Matthew, I'll be with you to the end of the age. I want to suggest to you this morning, there are people who know Jesus. And there are people that know Jesus better than other people know Jesus. Yeah. Find them. And get to know Jesus. You see, I tried to find the reference on this, and I couldn't. And I'll dig for it some more, because I want to get it down in my notes. But in my reading of some of the early church fathers, one of the guys in there said, look, if you're ever stuck between two men who have different opinions about what Jesus taught. In other words, there's some doctrinal issue that these two guys are heated argument about. He says, you know what you might ought to decide the issue on? Which man's life looks more like Jesus? Amen, church. Yeah. Which man's life? In other words, which guy knows the Lord better? And listen to him. Because I'm telling you, there are some people that sure want to stand up for Jesus that are not very Christ-like. And that's dangerous. If he's alive, get to know him. If he's alive, get to know him. If he's alive, it changes how we look at our lives today. You see, again, I wanted to give you this difference between those that have died and they're dead and the one who is alive. Okay? We need to keep that in mind. Because if he's alive, it changes everything. And what I mean is this. From a worldly perspective, it's the past that helps determine the present. Does that make sense? In other words, we'll look at history to try to understand where we are today and maybe what we ought to do into the future. It's a good reason to study history. Maybe try and learn something from it. Now, how much we do that, I don't know, because a lot of history repeats itself. But that's still an interesting thing sometimes, to look back at history and try to understand. And so we've got this sense that history and the past helps determine the present. If you believe that Jesus is alive, it's the future that determines your present. That changes everything. Imagine for a moment. This is just one of those fun little fantasies. Just imagine for a moment that you get a letter tomorrow, and it says some distant relative that you're just barely familiar with has left you a big chunk of his estate. Please contact our law offices. We need to visit with you. We need to verify your identity. Whatever it is lawyers have to do. And the letter looks legitimate enough, you think it's worth a call. You call them. They say, yes, can you come in? And you're thinking, I'll make some time for this. So you get in on Monday afternoon. And they bring you in. And let's just go with it. It's my little fantasy here. It's all legit. Somebody has died and they're leaving you $10 million. Okay? And you're convinced it's going to happen. It's legit. And they tell you this one little thing. They say, now, we've identified who you are. We've verified everything. It's going to take us a week. So a week from today, could you come back into our office in the afternoon and we will figure out, we'll either give you a check or we'll deposit this $10 million into your account. How are you going to live that week? Is it going to be a little easier to get up in the morning, perhaps? It is for me. Yeah. Now, yes, sidetrack. I know there's a whole other sermon I could preach here about money doesn't bring happiness. But I can't help but say sometimes I'd like to give that a try and prove it wrong. Again, it's just my little fantasy here. All I'm trying to get you to see here is that suddenly you have something promised to you in the future. And it changes everything about today and how you look at today and how you're going to live the rest of that week. That's what I'm trying to say to us this morning. He's alive. It's not the past that determines what's going to happen. It's that future that we know that we have in Him because He's alive. And it changes the way I live. It changes the way I see things. It changes the way I do things. We have an inheritance. That's biblical language, folks. We have an inheritance that is incomparable. That $10 million I just talked about, nothing. Drop in the bucket. You know the story about the guy that wanted to take something to heaven with him. And he was so amazing in his life that one night an angel came to him and says, fine, you can bring one thing to heaven. It's got to fit in one suitcase. But your life's been noticed. He says, great. Before he dies, he fills that thing with gold. And he gets to the pearly gates, and Peter meets him there, and Peter says, yeah, welcome, but you got to leave that here. And he says, no, I got special dispensation. I can bring this in. Peter says, let me check on that. Peter checks on it and says, sure, I don't know why, but you can bring that in. Peter says, but before you bring it in, could you show me what's in there? I'm really curious. He opens it up, it's gold. He says, why did you bring pavement? Of all the things to bring into heaven, why did you bring pavement? Yeah, okay, now that's just fun. You get the point. We have an inheritance because He is alive. That $10 million, as much as it ought to get you excited, and it would me, that's nothing compared to what we have in Him. It's pavement, folks. We've got something better. We've got something greater. It is not the past that determines today. For me, it's the future. All that stuff Jesus said makes sense. We've been talking about Matthew for the last few weeks. All those things in the Sermon on the Mount, especially when he just starts right off, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, all those types of things, you start to realize with his resurrection, the fact that he is alive, he meant that. As impossible as the Sermon on the Mount can sound to us sometimes, Jesus meant it and we can live it. We's alive. Yeah. I want to do one more thing here. You know, in a sense, don't we all die young? I think so. I know Max likes to tell this joke. He likes to say, you know, when you turn 70, you can no longer deny that you're young. You're old. Well, you can do what you want to with that. If you don't like that, take it up with Max. But what I'm getting at is this. Everybody here has known people that I don't care what their age was, they died too young. Wasn't all that long ago we did Miss Minnie's funeral. She lived to be 102. She died too young. You know, it hurts me when I go to visit with Art Stewart, you know, and to see what's happening there. And I could give you a whole other list of other people. Died too young. Died too young. What I want to do is I want to close this out with a passage from 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse 20. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Pause. First fruits meaning he's just the first. We're the ones to follow. First fruits is the first fruits. That's the first crop. Okay. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under his feet, it is clear that this does not include God himself who has put everything under Christ. When he has done this, the Son will himself then be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. You see, Christ rose. He's alive. And if you're His and you're in Him, you're going to live forever. Live like it. Okay, church? All right. We'll stop it there. Appreciate your time and attention this morning. He's alive. Don't forget it. Live like it. We're going to extend our time of invitation now. Marion's going to lead us in a song in just a moment. I'll be waiting at the back. I don't know what's on your hearts and minds this morning. If there's something we need to pray about, let's pray about it. If there's something we need to talk about, let's talk about it. Hey, if you're ready to name Jesus as Lord, why not? We're ready today to baptize you. I don't know what's on your hearts and minds, but the opportunity is there. Well, Ed and I'll be at the back. Let's stand and sing.